Tonight's talk is being given by Anto, and the title is Grenfell, the Unquenchable Blaze. Over to you then, Anto.
Good evening. A summary of what I'm talking about is, so basically there's been the Grenfell inquiry, which has been going on quite a while now, actually. We're up to the second phase of the Grenfell inquiry, and there's been some new findings come out. And my text basically describes the terrifying experience of the fire in the tower block, highlighting the dangers of UPVC in construction. We're also looking at who to blame beyond just, you know, capitalism in general. Imagine you wake at night and your walls are dripping with flames. It's a fire that's engulfing your flat, and you live in a tower block, and that's your home, and it's a crackling storm of searing flames. Walls turned into molten polyethylene, UPVC, a material described by Peter Epps, the editor of Inside Housing magazine, as solid petrol. It's a material that melts as it burns, and which it does easily at low temperatures. The air itself becomes hot as fire, scalding your lungs with each breath. One element of the chemical cocktail that is released from burning UPVC, cyanide. One survivor, in their testimony, said, "I was in a death trap. The smoke was everywhere. I had no idea how I was going to get out. The escape routes, which were once familiar, corridors and communal areas, are transformed into a dark labyrinth of despair. The firefighters told you to stay put for safety, but now that the building's UPVC shell is quickly and fully alight in flame materials floor to floor." Many survivors testified that they are unable to evacuate or unaware of the danger they are in. The Grenfell tower blaze, which occurred on the 14th of June 2017, remains one of the most tragic events of the 21st century Britain, and resulted in the confirmed deaths of 72 people. The fire started in a malfunctioning fridge freezer on a fourth floor flat, but its rapid spread through the 24-story tower was due to the building's outer cladding, amongst other construction failings. Fire revealed safety concerns across the UK's building regulations. It also revealed concerns with corporate accountability and systematic inequalities. The inquiry into the fire is still ongoing, but the second set of findings have recently been issued. The Met Police have called it the most complicated investigation ever undertaken, and has so far cost, this is just the police, has cost £100 million to conduct. Just a quick note, the side thing of that, there's actually only one person who has so far gone to jail for it. That was somebody who put their own hands up, felt guilty about it, who was involved in the UPC manufacture. So it started with regeneration. The early plans during the Grenfell refurbishment was to use fireproof cladding. Plan was changed. From the testimony of the residents at the time, no consulting was done. And despite the TMO's claims, that's Kensington and Chelsea, otherwise, these same residents argued their case and organised a grassroots resistance to the faceless companies that were dictating the terms of their existence and have now paid with their lives. The inquiry's fire safety expert said that the cladding was a time bomb waiting to go off. An email from one contractor revealed that the lower quality cladding was selected to save money despite warnings about the fire risk posed by the material. The decision to change it was to increase profits for the subcontractor. Actually, it was a subcontractor of a subcontractor of a subcontractor, which is how a lot of this sort of business is done these days. A decision that didn't involve the people whose lives were affected, but whose lives were ended by this decision. The money which was saved, and I'll put that in a sarcastic speech marks, the money that was saved on cladding and ultimately ended the 72 lives was £293,000. 293, 368. The cladding, although served nominally as insulation, was, as one resident put it, lipstick for the building. The Grenfell was a block in the affluent area of London, the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. It's considered by its rich neighbours as an eyesore. Same borough. This is the same borough as 15A Kensington Place Gardens, a property estimated to be worth £110 million. And that's probably an old figure now. That was a couple of years ago. So what it is now. The average house price in Kensington and Chelsea's Tite Street is 105 times the national average. So it's 105 times price. So people's disenfranchisement. It was clear that the building management had not acted on repeated concerns raised about safety. Inquiry testimony, the former building manager testified. During the inquiry, it was revealed that the chief executive of Kensington and Chelsea TMO bullied a Labour councillor, Judith Blakeman, to prevent her from attending a crucial meeting. The inquiry highlighted that this action was part of a broader pattern of ignoring and sidelining concerns raised by local representatives about safety issues at Grenfell. She was the MP at the time. The BBC reported that the TMO was criticised for failing to maintain the building to an adequate standard and for not addressing fire safety concerns raised by residents. The capitalist mechanisms created the death trap that led to the out-of-control fire, and the public inquiry, testimonies and wider public discourse connected this to a critique of capital. The BBC reported other cost-cutting and the profit motive. Decisions in relation to Grenfell were made during the refurbishment of the tower, avoiding consulting residents who, before the fire, had formed a residential committee. The refurbishment project was carried out by Ryden, a private contractor, and several other firms under the direction of the TMO. Dr. Lee Elliott Major, a social mobility expert, commented on the relationship between capitalism and Grenfell. Dr. Lee says, Grenfell exemplifies how housing policy in the UK, driven by neoliberal economics, has led to a profit-driven culture where the most vulnerable are treated as afterthoughts. The impact of privatisation on the UK's housing sector, following decades and decades of deregulation and privatisation, social housing management's often outsourced to private contractors, as was the case with the Kensington and Chelsea TMO. And, of course, they're going to centre capital and a system of privatised management, prioritising efficiency and cost reduction over safety. Blame is also shared by the government, who introduced a regulatory reform for fire safety order in 2005. This was part of the efforts to reduce red tape. I don't know if you remember that. Eric Pickles, who of course is now Lord Pickles, quickly became Lord Pickles, actually, the same year that Grenfell happened. The year Pickles got away, scot-free so far. An outgrowth of capitalist ideologies that place emphasis on reducing government oversight to what is euphemistically termed market-led solutions. Profit always trumps the lives of the working class. And I've got David Lammy here saying, because David Lammy actually had a friend, the Labour MP, who died in the fire. So he's actually come out quite radically for a Labour Party, ironically enough, for a Labour Party. He said, this is what happens when you deregulate and allow market forces to dictate safety and housing. Profit comes first and people come second. That was David Lammy, who I think he's the Foreign Secretary now, isn't he? So what would Labour do? More public-private partnerships, perhaps? Paul Jennings, so we'll talk about the Fire Brigade a little bit as well. So Paul Jennings, Deputy Commissioner of the London Fire Brigade, stated that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new builds examined by fire safety engineers, which have been deliberately designed to avoid stringent fire safety rules that were put in place after Grenfell. So you'll quite often see these new builds, the social housing new builds, and they won't go above six floors. And that's because as soon as you've got a six-story building, six-floor building, you have to put in sprinklers. And so now you've got all these new builds that are going up in the less than six floors. Leaseholders have also been hit by bills, more than £100,000 to replace unsafe cladding or to pay for so-called waking watches. That's where usually a security guard is employed to patrol the building. My building has that. I'm with Guinness Trust. And since all this, we've had a security guard that just walks around checking supplies. And of course, that's been added onto our monthly bills. So Eric Pickles, who's Secretary of State for Communities and Local Government from 2010 to 2015, should take blame for his role in the policies and decisions that have contributed to Grenfell Tower. His time in office was marked by several actions relating to fire safety and housing regulation. Basically, they undid as well a lot of the... I've got notes on this one, actually. Oh, yeah, here it is. Grenfell was actually built to the Parker Morris standards. Those that don't know what the Parker Morris standard was, it was sort of like a way of building social housing that was healthier for people to live in, things like that. It was a key report that was made in 1961 called Homes for Today and Tomorrow, and it focused on improving space standards in UK public housing and raise the quality of housing, social housing, to match people's increased living standards. So Grenfell itself was built to that in 1970. It was built to that. And there have been several fires in Grenfell which didn't spread beyond the individual flat because of the way it was designed and built. And it wasn't until the actual cladding was put on. So, you know, the fire department did get a lot of blame, especially from the Red Top newspapers when it first happened. But, of course, their approach had been, you know, to let it burn out because these are basically concrete pockets inside the building, and quite often it would just burn out. And that's why they didn't actually evacuate anybody. And the fire department, of course, in the first Grenfell inquiry got quite hard hit. But, of course, the second one is found, actually, they're not much at fault because what their way of tackling that those fires were based on the building standards at the time, which, of course, were lowered thanks to the cutting of red tape by the Tories. Yeah, so the building itself actually stood out as an innovative use of precast insulated concrete blocks instead of traditional brick. It gave them more flats per floor. There was like six flats, and they were like double or triple bedroom flats. And yeah, it was quite durable, and they expected it to last another 100 years before the fire, even though they had talked about knocking it down. I'm going to skip forward a bit. So Grenfell Action Group, so the GAG, which is a community group that was formed by the residents of Grenfell Tower and the surrounding Lancaster West Estate in London. They were dedicated to raising concerns about the housing conditions, the fire safety, and the general neglect of the tower by management, by the TMO. And even before the fire in 2017, the Grenfell Tower fire, the group repeatedly warned about serious fire safety risks, including fire hazards. But, you know, this is the grassroots organization that was just, you know, continuously ignored. And they're still being ignored today, actually, even though they've now got this power in the media. So, they brought up fire hazards, including inadequate fire exits, poor maintenance, often claiming a disaster was inevitable. And these issues were not addressed at all before. Of course, now they're throwing massive amounts of money at it, and they're trying to greenwash it with the memorial and things. But, you know, it's all a little too late. You know, despite the numerous warnings from GAG, the authorities largely ignored their concerns, and the tragedy they feared came to pass. GAG said on their blog, they said, the poor treatment of Grenfell Tower residents is reflective of a broader issue where corporations can act without real fear of consequences, putting their profits before people. So there was some government oversight for failures as well. What's we got? Survivors and campaigners have pointed out that the fire would not have occurred in the building housing wealthier residents because the standards of safety and maintenance would have been higher. Social inequality and is an essential aspect of maintenance or capitalism is the core underlying causes of this grim tragedy. In testimony during the Grenfell inquiry, Edward Defan, a Grenfell resident and campaigner, stated, "We were treated as second-class citizens because of our postcode and because we were poor." Housing as a commodity. So a critique of capitalism's role in Grenfell stems from the commodification of housing. Under neoliberal capitalism, housing is treated as an asset, or capitalism in general, is treated as an asset or as a means of generating profit rather than a basic human right. This leads to social housing being underfunded and poorly maintained as a profit-driven entity's focus on maximizing returns rather than the safe living conditions. And that's pretty much what it comes down to. All these modifications weren't done for the people that were living there. They were done for purely for aesthetic reasons. Yeah, I think that's about it. I mean, I could talk more about the findings and things, but really, I mean, you know, this is all just tinkering with capitalism, of course. Yeah. So, yeah, and of course, when I was writing this article, I went out to Grenfell to have a look and see what was going on. And emblematically, there was two different memorials. There was sort of this plastic, sort of acrylic built green heart, which was behind some glass and with a barrier in front of it, and so in front of this sort of fancy council office that they've built down there. And then there was one that was built by the residents, which was basically a piece of hardwood that was painted white, and then people had sort of written, you know, death by profit and things on it. And to me, that sort of just, you know, that really strikes, you know, really highlights the difference between the two.
Okay, Anto, thanks very much indeed.
Yes, no worries.
Okay.